Please turn with me this morning to Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 1. Titus, chapter 1. And I read verse 10. Titus, chapter 1, verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And God willing, we will proceed looking at verse 10 to 16. But I believe, as a start, that these are very sad words, some of the hardest verses in the Word of God, toughest words of God, the way false teachers are described unto us. So my title, because of that, is this: false teachers, their manner, their methods, and their motives. And all these things are given to us in these verses. False teachers, their manner, their methods, but also what drives them, their motives. And it is for our edification. Hard words, but they described unto us all false teachers in any religion, but especially in the Church of Jesus Christ. These people, as we will see, they are in the church, but they are not of the church. They are among us, but they are not of us. But they describe also all non-believers. If you are a non-believer, if you have never sought and found the Lord Jesus Christ, the things we are going to speak about may describe you. But these words also describe all false teachers in every cult. The cults are explained, the way they behave, the way they relate to the church, the way they act, their manner, their methods, but also what do they do in order to catch other people as a prey in their nets. In previous studies, we have looked at the credentials of Christians, spiritual Christians, true Christians. But now we are given the credentials of all false teachers. All of them. And I will do my best to explain that in the short time we have before us. But before I give you some headings, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm sure you see the contrast. There is a sharp contrast between the godly elders, the spiritual elders, the faithful elders, the spiritual elders. We have spoken on those things in our previous studies. The spiritual, godly, faithful elders, we are given a description of them in verse 5 to 9. But now, the contrast, the other side of the coin, the evil part, how are the false teachers being described? You see that contrast. We know. So we are not taken at the blind. We have been warned in advance in the way to spot, to discern, or to detect those who want to lead us astray from the living God. But we find also a contrast between Christians and Christians, because the people of Crete in Paul's time, they were called Christians. So the contrast, are you a Christian or are you a Christian? That's how you see the contrast also. But when you read verse 15 and 16, I'm anticipating, you can see another contrast. Believers, non-believers, the pure and the defiled. You can see the good and the detestable, the abominable. You can see the contrast between the saved and the reprobate, those who do not stand before the living God. So just a quick glance will show you that contrast. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, we need godly elders. We need spiritual pastors, faithful pastors, to do what? To protect us and to defend us against the wolves. There are many wolves. And when Paul was separating from the elders of the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 22, he told them that very soon wolves will come in the church. But they are already here. This is 2,000 years ago, and they are already here. My dear brothers and sisters, every book of the New Testament, except the letter of Paul to Philemon, every book of the New Testament speaks to us about false teachers. So who are they? What are they doing? How to know them? What drives them to be in the church of Jesus Christ? What makes them to be among us? What are their motives? So all these questions appear in the verses we are going to look at this morning. And I believe they have a way of operating. They are in the church, but they are not of us. They are vicious. They are cruel. They are deviants. But they are also virulent opponents of the word of God. So I have a portrait of them as I start. That's my first heading, really. The portrait of all false teachers. How do they look like? How do they operate? What do they do? How do they look like? So all these things, I will spare you many details, but the text is pregnant of so many descriptions. That's why I spoke about their credentials. They have also their credentials. So let's start by looking at the first one in verse 10. And the first one is given to us in verse 10. And there it says, they are many. That's what the verse is telling us. So there are not just a few of them, but there are many of them. Multitude, numerous of them with many followers. That's something also we must emphasize. There are many of them with many followers. But there are many. Why? And what do? They claim that they have a special insight. They have something you and me we do not have. They have some special revelation. They have some special ministry. And can I draw your attention on this? Wherever and whoever comes to you and say, I have a special ministry, red card, red card, red flag. Special ministry, what do you mean? But these people, again, they disseminate. Nowadays, with all the internet, with the blogs, the Facebook, the social media, and so on, they disseminate their teaching in homes, in their books. My dear brothers and sisters, if our bookshop was to make business, it will bankrupt long time ago. That's why it's not a good business at all, according to the world view. That's why every book coming into the bookshop has to be assessed. Why? Do you think it's because we don't want it to flourish? It's a way of protecting the believers. And sadly, some people, they come, I need this book. Oh, no, we don't have it here. And they go to another bookshop and buy it there. While they have been given the warning here, we do not stock this one because it will be a spiritual fungus infection to your soul. That's why we name people sometimes. We name their books, not because we had a bad day, but because we want to protect the church of Jesus Christ. We have been given this command from cover to cover in the word of God. So you can see there are many, and they disseminate their teaching. Healing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, just at the end of a phone call, but not for free. For a fee. Not for free, but for a fee. You know, I often say they have deleted the text in Matthew chapter 10 where Christ said, you have received freely, give freely. They have erased that verse from the word of God. So everything is with a fee. Nothing is given free. And as you will see later in their motives, we will be edified. But I must proceed. The second threat of character given to us about the false teachers is here. Verse 10, we could spend really all the sermon just in verse 10. Not that there are only many, but they are unruly, insubordinate, refractory, unsubmissive, and docile, we may even say. There is no submission in their lives. My dear brothers and sisters, rebelliousness is in the nature of each one of us. We are all rebels, all of us. Without salvation, we live in a rebellious state. That's why salvation, conversion changes a person. We are not the same anymore. So, but these people, they are unruly. To be unruly, actually it's the same word, look at in verse 6, the same Greek word, and even in English we have the same word about the children of the elder. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot, and or unruly, it's the same word. So false teachers are unruly, undocile, they hate authority. You know the word autonomy, made of two words, auto, and nomos, he is a law unto himself. The false teacher is a law unto himself. He is independent. He is not a member of a church. He is not under the rulership of a church. He is not accountable to anyone. A free lone ranger. That's how he functions. But the word of God says, if you disobey, if you are unruly, if you reject the authority of men, 1 Thessalonians 4:8, you reject the authority of men, godly men, the apostles, you are also rejecting the authority of God. Let me put it differently. If you cannot subdue to men, you will never be able to subdue to God also. That's life. It's a rule of life. So the false teachers are many and they are unruly. They have a free will and very inventive with great imagination. They are unruly in their lives, but they are also unruly in their fleshly appetites and desires. So, and docility, someone who cannot subdue or who cannot submit to the word of God or to the leadership of the local church, it's a great handicap. The person is really paralyzed. Why? Because the first rebel, the first unruly person or being is who? Satan. Satan is the first rebel. We know that from Genesis chapter 3. And we know that even from the host of angels, how he rebelled against God, wanting to make himself like God or equal to God. My dear brothers and sisters, submission is at the heart of the Christian life. If I may just give you some aspects where there is a clear command in the word of God that we are to subdue, we are to submit. And the first command we are given is that we are to submit to God. James chapter 4 says, submit yourselves unto God. And if you do that, what does God does? He comes to you, he blesses you, because God loves the people who humbles themselves before him. And he gives them grace and even more grace. So we submit to God. Children are to submit to their parents. Wives are to submit to their husbands. Of course, there is no such thing as blind submission. It doesn't exist in the word of God. But we are to submit also to the authorities. The local authorities, the national authorities. That's why a Christian must be someone who lives as the best citizen. the best patriot of his nation, the nation where he is, working hard, being a good worker, giving a good example. But we are also to submit to one another. Ephesians 5 verse 21. There is a form of submission we owe to one another in the Church of Jesus Christ. So I have listed just five in passing by, that submission is central to the Christian life. An unsubmitted person is falling into a great handicap, and that will paralyze him spiritually. My dear brothers and sisters, how could someone be week after week under the sound teaching of the Word of God and still remain unruly? I don't want to be ruled by anyone. I'm a law unto myself. I'm independent. Who are you to tell me what to do? The Church of Jesus Christ is a church of order. Maybe I said too much on that second one, but first one, there are many. The second one, they are unruly. The third one, in verse 10, it is given to us, they are vain talkers. This really doesn't require much explanation. Vain talkers, vanity. You could see the word vanity there. They captivate proficient, they are captivating proficient storytellers. They tell you stories. It's not about preaching, it's about their stories. And they cast a spell on people's mind based on what? Most of the time, when you speak with a false teacher, he will tell you, oh, this is logic, this is fair, this is reasonable, this is according to their human judgment. They will never tell you this is according to the Word of God, but this is according to my opinion. This is what I think. This is what God has said to me. But where is it in the Bible? But God said it to me. You see what is happening? They put their own experience above the Word of God. God said it to me. When? How did God's voice, how did it sound like? Did it sound like the voice of whom? I don't know. No, vain talkers. And out of these are many, many. It's not good to name some of the people, but you know them, I'm sure. Many, many of the TV preachers, they go on and on, round and round, gapping nothing with bombastic, unedifying words. And many churches. You go out, you ask yourself, what was this man talking about the whole day? What did we get? There is no challenge. There is no conviction of sin. They are not speaking about the righteousness of God. I remember a church I went to. It's a Baptist church. So don't believe the name. It's a Baptist church. The man spoke for 45 minutes, and I didn't hear even once the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be there? No, never again. I will never go there. I want to hear Christ. I want to hear his cross. My dear brothers and sisters, you go to a church and you don't hear, that church doesn't convict you of your sins, don't go there. I often ask people, why do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to feel good. I want to be happy in the church. I want a church where there is entertainment. Why should you make my day to be so sad? No, that's not the purpose of preaching. It should make me to be godly, not happy. It should make me to be a saint, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a better person. But I also ask, why do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to go to heaven. No, I didn't believe in Christ because there is heaven. What about if there was no heaven? We have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ because we are sinners. We are doomed, condemned sinners, wretched sinners, and we need salvation. And Christ came into this world to save sinners, to save you and me from this vain world. Yes, heaven is just a consequence of that, a result of that, but never put heaven before your sins. So they are vain talkers, saying so many things. The engine is running, but it gets you nowhere. That's what it means to be a vain talker. And eloquence, charm, good speaking. Some people, they go to some church, they have a good speaker there. Or they have a good band. Even music, what kind of music you listen to? Many people are asking us that question. My dear brothers and sisters, never separate the message and the messenger. He may speak good words, but what about his life? Is he married? Is he divorced? Is he living in adultery? Is he a liar? So you check the life of the music and the not just the lyrics, the person who is behind. It's like preaching. Listen not only to the word, but check the life. Is he an example? Is he an example of godliness, of prayer life, of studying the word, of witnessing, of obedience? We are not following people blindly. So these people, there are many, but there are unruly. They are vain talkers. And the fourth one, I must really go faster. Now, in verse 10, and deceivers. They are deceivers. Bible said deceiving and being deceived. That's what the word of God says. They deceive intentionally and on purpose. It's not just I didn't do it by purpose, but their plans, their agenda, their thoughts, their thinking, all what they are doing is to deceive people. Even their preaching, it is if they really do their homework, is to plan to deceive people. I will tell them things that will itch their ears. Because remember, itching ears will soon become deaf ears. Unruly people, deceiving people, vain talkers. But now it's becoming harder. In verse 10, especially, they of the circumcision. Please read with that verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandment of men that turn from the truth. So these people, Paul says, especially of the circumcision. I'm sure you know whom he's talking about. He's talking about the false teachers among the Jews. What are the Judaizers are doing? The people who are mixing the Christian life with Jewish fables, what are they doing? Very simple. That's why the Reformation came. You know the battle cry of the Reformation is justification is by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based on Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. But what is the problem with the Judaizers? They said Christ is not sufficient. Yes, have Christ, but be also circumcised. Have Christ, but have this festival, that festival. Have Christ, but you must follow this diet and that diet. And that's why I'm sure, I don't know if you have visited those kind of churches. There are churches where you find children running with flags, banners, dancing and clapping hands. And they say, this is a part of worship. But John chapter 4 verse 24 says, to worship God, we must worship him in spirit and truth. That's all we need. No band, no clapping hands, no lifting up of hands. Nothing you do in your body, even if you walk on your head in thinking that you are worshiping God, it doesn't help. It's not a part of worship. This is man-made ads. Worship must be in spirit and truth. That's all we need, my dear. Please, I'm from Africa, so I speak to my brothers and sisters from Africa. Africans or Latinos, we have danced enough. It's time to think. It's time to think. In Africa, they open a new school, we dance. There is a new well, we dance. There is a new dispensary clinic, we dance. There is wedding, we dance. And guess what? Funeral. I have seen that with my eyes. Funeral, we dance. Please, it's time to think, to sit and think. Reverence in worship. Honor in worship. And I will make mine, pastor's words here. He said, why would you have Christ in the church and have the world in your reception or in whatever you are doing? Why would you behave the Lord in the church or talk the Lord in the church and behave the world and the devil outside the church? That's the attitude of false teachers. Unruly, deceiving, vain talkers, and they are adding supplements. They are adding that Christ's blood on the cross of Calvary was not sufficient. But guess what? Titus himself didn't go through circumcision. Timothy went, but Titus didn't go through that rite. So we don't need rites, we don't need regulations, we don't need rituals, we don't need ceremonies, we don't need anything to add to the sufficient work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But fifthly, we are given a fifth one about the description of these false teachers. Verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, and here it is, who subvert whole houses. They target your home. That's why people who are watching God TV, or just the name is awful, God TV. How could God have a TV? That's the name. And all of them are parked there, but they are in our homes. Off it. It won't do you any good, because they are targeting your children, they are targeting your wife, they are targeting the husband, and they disseminate again their opinions in their visitations, that they knock on the doors through their books, through their blogs, through their social media, and so on. Husbands, if your wife is a bit talkative, you are the one who should refrain her. Wives, if your husband gets involved in things that lead astray the home, you are the one spiritual. That's why we often say husbands and wives are to shape one another, not just in courtship, but throughout lifelong Christianity, until the Lord comes back, until we go to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they have to shape one another and instruct and warn and instruct and admonish one another. I hope everyone accepts admonition in the Church of Jesus Christ. But the seventh one is here, there in verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. So if I have lost you, let me again remind you the first thing, there are many. The second, they are unruly, unsubordinate. The third, they are vain talkers. The fourth, they are intentional deceivers. The fifth one, they are adding something else with fables, myths, and men's traditions to the sufficient work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his redemptive work on the cross of Calvary. The sixth one, they subvert, they put upside down. This is the same word used when the Lord Jesus Christ, pastor spoke on that last week, when the Lord Jesus Christ entered in the temple and he threw away the tables of the money changers there. That's the same word. They put upside down whole houses and homes. And they enter, especially 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, they enter in homes of young women. And many heresies, many cults have started with young women. Why? Because they didn't submit to the word of God. So young women, if you are alone at home, a false teacher comes to knock at the door, thank you. There is no room for you. Please go away. That's the way you should answer to them, because they subvert whole homes. But Paul says they are liars. They are wild beasts. In Crete that time, even now, they didn't have wild beasts. But can you see the analogy? Paul is comparing false teachers with wild beasts. And they are slow bellies, which means they are gluttons. They are after what feeds the flesh, their carnal desires, their carnal whims, their fleshly appetites. They are liars. And Paul here is quoting one of their thinkers, a so-called prophet from the 6th century, long time ago. And this man gave a verdict about his own people. So you can see, Paul was not having a bad day. It's the people themselves, their own self are saying, or one of them is saying, we are liars, we are slow bellies, we are wild beasts. So Paul was not making a blanket statement here. They were pathological liars. You know, there are some names in the Bible which became, they are not normally used in speaking, but to Corinthianize the church of Corinth or the city of Corinth, to Corinthianize means to live immoral life. But to Cretanize means to be a liar, a cheater. So that's where we get the word from, because they were liars, gluttons, and wild beasts. And one of them has said so. So they were liars, hotheads, and gluttons, and it was true. I want to make an application here. It is sad that, of course, generalization is never good. But you know that one person from one nation can misbehave to you, and what do? Everyone of that nation. Everyone. But you see, my dear brothers and sisters, conversion changes a person. We were all liars. And I'm saying this with the kindest heart. If you are not a believer, Bible says you live in lies. The devil is the father of all lies. So come out from his kingdom. Come out from lies. So conversion and the gospel recreates. It changes our faculties. I may come from a culture that has been labeled by a certain prejudice, but now we are not the same anymore. We should come out from that culture. And I'm sure you know, they say often, people of this culture, they are always slow, they are mean, they are greedy, they are reserved. You cannot make them to do anything. They are always late. I'm sure you know what people are saying about every culture. But now, once I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not of that identity anymore. Before, I was indifferent. But now I am different. Before, I was greedy or mean, but now I'm a giver. Before, a liar, but now I'm honest. Before, I lived only for my flesh, for myself, but now my patriotism is for the Lord. My staunch determination is for the kingdom of God, not for myself anymore. That's how we have to look at it. That's a good application, really, to contradict. People of this nation, when you were not a Christian, they behaved this way. But now I'm a Christian. My life belongs to the kingdom of God. I belong to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter said there, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's our nation now. Not the UK, not Britain, not America, not Africa, not Australia, but we are a holy nation, a peculiar people, saved, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to proclaim the wondrous things of the living God who has taken us from darkness into his marvelous light. That's our identity now. Sometime I said this in an earlier sermon here. People ask me, where are you from? I wish they are asking me, where are you going? to the kingdom of God, to heaven. That's our focus, not where I come from. It doesn't matter really. And anyway, so I must move on. And there is a last one I will want to put before you. I know time is running. So the last one, there are more in verse 15 and 16. They profess to know God. They only profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. So they are professors, not possessors. They only claim to have something they do not have. They are in fact godless, defiled, abominable, unbelieving, disobedient, reprobate. That means they do not stand the test of the word of God. They are disqualified, disloyal, insincere. They are of no use at all. The false teachers. They are worthless and morally corrupt. Now I have two more questions as I close. What are their motives? Very simple. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. For the sake of a sordid, dishonest, and ashamed, shameful gain, they are doing their teaching. That is contrary to the godly elders. The godly elders are not lovers of money. They serve the Lord with their heart, not because of a gain. And these people are charlatans. They are in the job to use religion to gain power. They are money-making, and money-making and greed and self is what drives them. They take advantage of the people of God to get to their purse by tricks. I don't need to tell you this, but even the world says they are in the job for a filthy lucre. They are in the job for what they gain from it, not because they love the Lord. So they are unscrupulous. They use and abuse people. Now, as I close, how are we to treat them? What is the remedy? What is the method we should use against their method? Not argument winning, but here it is. We are given what we should be doing against them. In verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped? Restrain them, restrict them, and the word to stop them there means to bridle them, put a gag on them, muzzle them. Don't let the dog bark anymore. Put something on his mouth. Don't let him bark. So look at verse 9. What are we to do to the gainsayers? We have to convince them. In verse 11, we have to stop their mouths. And look at verse 13. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. So, convince them, stop them from speaking, and third, rebuke them sharply. And the word rebuke them sharply there is actually the lancet, the scalpel. Use the knife, like a surgeon in a surgery operation. He has to cut the tumor, because the germs and the viruses are spreading, so we are to cut the germ before it spreads. Of course, we are to do it with grace and humility. This is why, again, we have to warn the people of God. So convince them, rebuke them sharply. With what? Christ rebuked the devil with the word of God. So we rebuke them by using the word of God, the scriptures. Second, we rebuke them sharply by living a godly life, a holy life, not the kind of life, immoral, unscrupulous life they are living. So we convince them. But unfortunately nowadays, because of love, we are not allowed to say anything. But as I close, love is not always nice. And to be nice is not always to be loving. There is tough love. Sometimes you have to be hard. Ask any parent, not because they hate their children. They are hard on them in order to do good to them. So the rebuking has a positive purpose. And what is that positive purpose? It is here in verse 13 and 14. Wherefore rebuke them sharply. Why? That they may be sound in the faith. You see, the rebuking has a purpose, positive purpose, that they may be sound in the faith. They will come back to faith. That will protect the church. That will protect also the people whom they have enticed into following their ideas. Because remember, false teachers will always find disciples, and they will always be critical about the way things are done in the church. Oh, he should have said it this way. He should have done it this way. He should have looked at it this way. They are better than perfect than anyone. I call them, they are like the spectators or the fans in a stadium. They play better than the players. But rebuke them sharply. Why? That they may be sound in the faith. It is positive. Now the teachable will be humbled. But the proud will be lost. My dear brothers and sisters, we preach the truth, we stand for the truth, we uphold the truth, we defend it, we study it, we live by it, we exemplify it in our lives. We are commanded to check ourselves, examine ourselves, if we stand in the faith. We are not only to denounce false teaching, but we are also to silence false teachers with love, with grace. Never be cantankerous. Never be just argumentative with philosophical arguments. But also we silence them by a godly life and with sound doctrine. The Word of God is the detector by the help of the Holy Spirit. False teachers, their manner, their methods, and their motives. May the Lord bless us and help us in our daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close by singing our last hymn number 486.